And if you're writing a title down, is write redemption from the curse of sickness. Now, there's a lot of people out today because of sickness. But that's a curse. You understand what I'm saying? Now, I can understand if you're in a hospital. You can't come. But one thing about it I love is when they're out, they say, look, can you get me a CD of the message? I said, sure I can. But can you get on the internet? If you can, just get on the internet and you can hear it on the internet, on our website. I'll be glad. Can you send me give me a DVD of the message? Sure, I can do it. We can do DVD. You know, we'll give out the CDs. But I'm believing today that you may be in here with something going on in your body. And I believe today it's going to take care of that. If you grab a hold to the Word of God, open up your spiritual eyes and see what the Word of God is telling us. But because the Word of God is true. And every word that's in the Bible is true. And if you can't believe it's true, you need to renew your mind. Because you're not living according to the Word. You're doing your own thing. And you know, you think about it. You know a lot of people out there that are doing, they do their own thing. And you know, like we said, 1 hour with Jesus on a Sunday. But the redemption from the curse of sickness. What is redemption? Well, you know, what is that word? I mean, to me, anything over five syllables or five letters, I have to look it up. And some of these big old words, I said, what is redemption? What is that? You know, in the Bible, redemption refers to the saving act of God. God saved you. And we should honor him because of what he did, not doing what we want to do. You understand? Specifically through Jesus Christ. Where humanity is freed from sin and its consequences. Does that mean I can go do whatever I want? No. But that means you're freed from all what you have done from that point. And we need to ask God to forgive us so that we can move on. You know, it's often described as a purchase or ransom. What was that ransom? Next week, Jesus was our ransom, right? Where God's Son paid the price for our freedom from sin and death. That's awesome. I mean, that's a God worth is worthy of worshiping for what he did for us. I mean, you could probably think back in your life when you were small, somebody did something awesome for you, and you never forgot about it. You know, I can think of little things that happened when I was coming up, and I said, wow, that was awesome what they did. And, you know, I made real good friends with them, and I kept being friends with them because of what they did. Now let's get over in the spiritual realm. What Jesus did for us was a whole lot more than what the person did for me in the natural. What Jesus did for me, and I have to recognize that and show him how much I love him. How you do that? By worshiping him. By being in his presence. And to do the things that God wants. You know, God, here I am. How many times we've said that? Here I am, Lord. Well, not today. I mean, it's crossed my mind. I mean, I've had to repent a lot because of that. I said, here I am, Lord. Well, Lord speaks to you, and you, not today. Anybody else have done that? I mean, am I the only one that's done that? It's crossed your mind, right? Hallelujah. Look in Galatians 3:13. Galatians 3:13. Hallelujah. And it says, but Christ has rescued us from the curse pronounced by the law when he was hung on the cross. He took on himself. What? What did he take? The curse for our wrongdoing. For our wrongdoing. Anybody had never done anything wrong? Okay, well, I was going to say we'll have a prayer line. For our wrongdoing. We probably did some wrongdoing on the way here. You know, you say, well, I don't know. I didn't. I just drove. Yeah. What was the speed limit? They don't think about that. Because I know coming up here on this new road over there, it's hard to stay 45. I'm going to have to bring the window down so I can hear the air blowing so I know I'm going a little bit too fast. Because you're inside your vehicle and you don't know. You're just flying down the road and you finally look down at the speedometer and says, oh, it's 45 through here, not 65. Somebody said, you drive 65? Now don't come and tell me you don't drive 65. Hallelujah. But Christ redeemed us from the curse of the law. He redeemed us from what? You know, you know what redeemed is because I just let you know. You know, he redeemed us from the curse of the law. Before we proceed any further here now, let's look at what the curse of the law entails. Because we hear it, the law. Anybody ever read the whole United States Constitution? Well, I'm going to kind of give you a skimming of the law, curse of the law. And that's going to be in Deuteronomy 28:15-22. We're just going to hit on a little bit here. And it says in verse 15, it says, but it shall come to pass, it will do not, if you do not obey, if you do not obey, if you do not obey, how many times we've whipped our kids for not obeying? Thank God we were redeemed. We don't have a God that's going to come down here with his little broom or belt or whatever and whip us because our wrongdoing. It shall come to pass if we do not obey the voice of the Lord, your God, to observe carefully all his commandments. And it says right here, commandments and his statutes, which I command you today, that all their curses will come upon you and what? Overtake you. A lot of people are bouncing off the wall because they're not listening to God and not being obedient to him. In verse 16, he tells us, cursed shall you be in the city. So, I'm okay, I'm going to live out in the country. And cursed shall you be in the country. Verse 17. And it tells you right here, cursed shall be your basket and your kneading bowl. Verse 18. Praise the Lord. And it tells us, cursed shall... Well, that's a lot of curse. Cursed shall be the fruit of your body and the produce of your land, the increase of your cattle and the offspring of your flocks. That sounds bad. Let's go to verse 19 now. 19 says, cursed shall you be when you come in, and cursed shall you be when you go out. Wow. Let's go to the next one. The Lord will send you cursing, not cussing, cursing, confusion, and rebuke in all that you set your hands to do until you are destroyed and until you perish quickly because of the wickedness of your doings in which you have forsaken me. Let's go to the next verse. The Lord will make the plague cling to you until he has consumed you from the land which you are going to possess. 22. And he says, the Lord will strike you with consumption, with fever, inflammation, with severe burning fever and the sword, with scorching and with mildew. Woo! And then pursue you until you perish. Man, it's good to listen to the voice of the Lord. Isn't it? I mean, you saw all what God said. He said in his word. I want you to look in 28:27 now. And he says, with boils of Egypt, with tumors, with scabs, and with the itch, from which you cannot be healed. And it says right here, the Lord, in verse 28, and he tells us, the Lord will strike you with madness. Think about that one. And blindness and confusion of heart. Wow. Let's go to the next verse. And he tells us, and you shall grope at noonday as a blind man gropes in darkness. You shall not prosper in your ways. You shall be only oppressed and plundered continually. And no one shall save you. Man, how you like to live like that? For not being obedient to God. Now the King James Version, I want you to look at this. I said all of that because everybody said, see, God strikes you with sickness. God does this. God does all of that. God, I'm scared of that God because he's going to make me sick. He's gonna chase after me. He's going to kill me. He's going to do all that. But the King James Version scriptures would lead you to believe that God himself put sickness and affliction upon what? Upon each and every one. I mean, that was God's people. He wrote this too. He told this too. And you know, and it reads that the Lord shall smite thee. And so what it said, he will smite you. A lot of times when we read the Bible, we'll stay in that one. We might King James, New King James, or Amplified, or whatever. But you think about it, you look into the Hebrew translation of what, like we just said about the Lord shall smite you. But in Hebrew it says, the Lord will allow you to be smitten. He will allow you to be smitten. You understand what I'm saying? The Lord will allow these plagues to be brought upon you because you're not being obedient to his word. You're not being following after him. And you're doing your own little thing. And, you know, that's a bad place to be in. I mean, I always got my repentance. I'm ready to repent because if I mess up, I don't want to be caught in those things because God allows it. What happens to people when they come down with something or whatever, their finances are drained or this and that and all this stuff going on, it's because we're moving out. A lot of times because we move out from the covering of God. We go do our own little thing. We're not giving him all the praise and the glory and the honor. So we have to remember that God, we say, God, you come first. Well, when we say it, we're making a commitment to God that he comes first in our life. And then when we don't do that, we come under this him allowing things to come at us. You think about the little things. I can remember a lot of times I said, well, you know, I don't need church. I don't need to go into church. I don't need none of that stuff. I did, in a period of my life, I did that. And I did my own thing. I went out and had a good time on a Sunday morning or whatever. And you know, and after a while, I started just kind of, my chest was caving in. And I knew it was something I was missing, something that was wrong. And I realized, I mean, everything in my life seemed like it was upside down. It seemed like nothing would go right. You ever been in that situation? You know, things are not going. And, you know, I mean, I would go Sunday with some of my outlaw friends, and we'd go out and have a good time. We'd go do this. Now, it wasn't much to do on Sunday because everything was closed during that time. But we'd still go out to Emmett River. We'd go ride out because we'd go out of town. We didn't want none of the parents to see us in town. You understand what I'm saying? We'd go out of town, and you know, and then we'd have to beat it back. But then, you know, after a while, that was getting of age, more of an age where your parents, you know, they done brought you up, and mine brought me up in church, and I was playing hooky from church, and you know, somehow or another, they find out. They can find out. Nobody saw you, but they'll find out. It's like the Spirit of God spoke to them and said, you better go check on your son. You know, and I know that's what happened. The Spirit of God spoke to my parents, and you know, they didn't say nothing. They wasn't like going to beat me over the head. But they talked to me in a way that I come to my senses. They didn't holler. They didn't scream. They didn't do anything like that. But when they told me about the situation, they taught me about God. And you know, it wasn't long after I said, that's it. I repented. I went back and got in a good church, and I enjoyed it. And my life seemed like it turned around. Because why? I was following after God. You say, oh, God, I love you. Anything you want, here I am. You know, and I could tell you, I've been in all kinds of different denominations. Think about that. Yeah. I was a Baptist. I was Episcopalian. And I went back to Baptist, and then I went to a non-denominational. And then I went to this other church, and I said, wow, I don't even know what kind of church this is. But it was good. Why is that? Because the Spirit of God was flowing in that place. And that's what I wanted. I wanted more and more. And I wanted God to use me. And you could sit and wait, and you say, God, I want you to use me. I am. And what is that? Just showing the love of Jesus to other people. And then finally, you got to a point to where we were hooked up in the ministry. We got hooked up together, and we were doing things in the ministry. And you know, we felt like, well, we look at here. We're in the ministry. We're doing something for the Lord. We didn't think it was much. It started off kind of slow. But I had a pastor over in Sulphur that told me, he said, don't ever give up. God's gonna bless you for it. And you know, it was just a matter of time. Our singles group was meeting twice a month because it grew so much. Then we had conferences. It was awesome to be used by God in that capacity. We travel all over South Louisiana doing conferences for singles. And it was awesome. And, you know, we had to wait on the Lord. We had to listen to him. And we had to do what he wanted us to do, even though we wanted to do something else. Too many other times people say, well, come on over here. Man, we'd have a good time over here. Well, we can't do it today. We got this going on. And, you know, those people are lost as a goose. But you understand what I'm saying? That we got to understand that if we say we're going to put God first, what you do? You put God first. If you don't put God, you start getting out from his covering, and you hear about all of this stuff that he allows to happen in your life. You think about it. You look at your life and you say, man, I don't know why this is happening in my body or this is going on. Well, you probably misused it. It wasn't designed that way. God didn't design you to do your body that kind of harm. And sure, we all probably have done something we shouldn't have done in our life to harm our body. And, you know, we go through those things because the consequences. It's like the consequences of sin. Yeah, but I prayed God to heal me. God's already healed you. He's already done it. But a lot of times we're off on the wrong track. We're doing our own thing. So we have to understand that. And that moves us from under that covering and God. And then God allows the things to happen to you. Hallelujah. But you know, as we said in the Hebrew, God said he allows it. That's what it says in the Hebrew. Now, I want you to think about this now. King Saul, remember when he backslid? He went and saw these, I'm going to use witch doctors, you know, all that fortune tellers and all that kind of stuff. He went and looked for them to get an answer. And you know, he backslid. He turned his face away from God. Because you don't believe in those. I mean, God is our healer. He said Jesus is our healer. 1 Samuel 16, 14. Take a look at that. 1 Samuel 16, 14. And it says, now that the Spirit of the Lord has left Saul. I don't want the Spirit of the Lord to leave me. And I don't want him to leave you. And the Lord sent a tormenting spirit that filled him with depression and fear. Now, you see what I'm reading here? That we open the door to these things such as depression and fear. I think I said this last week. I'm going to keep my joy. I don't care what's going on around me. I'm going to keep my joy. Even though as being a pastor... it's hard. I mean, you've got to really be prayed up, because a lot of the things that come towards you and comes at you, and you hear things and this and that, and you know, it takes a lot to keep your joy. And you get prayed up, and you get under the covering of God, and He is going to what? He's going to restore you. He's going to keep you keeping your joy. Because I'm going to keep my joy, even though things, you know, you might have seen me laughing here. Sure, I might have had a rough day yesterday. But you know what? I got the joy of the Lord. And I'm not going to let the devil take it from me by me trying to say something, or me doing something, or me trying letting the devil get in my mind. No, he can't do that. Now, he may knock, he may try, to squeeze through that door real hard, because, you know, I believe the Spirit of God is pushing, and he's going to tell him, get away from that door. And, just a lot of times we let things in. We let things into our heart. We let things into our mind. And, you know, we start dwelling on it. And sure, you can dwell on it when you dwell on those old things. Boy, I'm going to drown my sorrows. Give me another one. You see, understand what I'm saying? But now give me another hit of the Spirit of God. Come on, hit me again. I don't have to deal with the alcohol part of it. I don't play that game no more. Because I'm not going to open the door. What happens when you have a few little drinks? Yeah, your mind starts changing. You start, you know, listening to the devil a little bit more. But you know, we have to think about what we just read here. What actually happened was that King Saul's sin broke fellowship with God, and God permitted the evil spirit from the devil to trouble him. You ever had a mosquito in your room at night, you're trying to sleep? That's aggravating. You put that over your head, and then he finds a way to get underneath that cover. That's aggravating. That's the way the devil is going to torment you. You know, you want to get up and turn the light on and see if you see him flying around. Or fly. Well, I could go outside on our patio. Sit out there with my hot cocoa and my little foam on top, my little chocolate. Sitting out there on my big mug. I'm sitting out there, and all of a sudden, here come the flies. I said, what in the world is going on? After that, no, you ain't going to get that. I said, watch this for me. It's me or the fly. The fly has to go. But I can tell you that you know, King Saul was tormented by the devil. You know, the devil can't do nothing to you. Now, you think about that. Unless you act upon what he's putting on. You know, he can tell you stuff in your mind. He can say this. Oh, I got a pain here. I got this pain. Oh, well, I guess, you know, somebody was telling me a couple years ago. He said, man, my parents died when X amount of years old, I guess I'll be next. No, we don't do that. We don't live like that. We live because God gives us life, and life more abundantly. Praise the Lord. But you know, we have to understand that King Saul broke fellowship with God. And you know, that opened the door for the devil to constantly torment him. Oh, this is going on. I ain't got time. I'm just so busy. I can't do nothing. Well, change that word busy into fruitful. Man, I have been fruitful today. And you play the trick on the devil, what he's tried to play on you. You can't do that. You're too busy. You can't do that because you understand what I'm saying. Didn't your devil talk to you too? Try to tell you stuff that you can't do? Oh, no. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. And you know, and I'm going to keep my joy because it's the joy of the Lord. You know, I mean, you may be hurting on the inside, but the joy of the Lord. And that's what we have to understand, the different types of joy. He's talking about just being with the Lord, being with Him and giving Him the praise, glory, and honor, and you'll keep that joy. I don't know about you, you run around and jump and holler and scream. But you know, we can conclude what we're talking about from these scriptures, that sickness and disease are part of the curse of the law. Jesus came and he destroyed that. There should be no sickness and disease, right? He said it right here in his word that, you know, it sickness and disease, it's all from the devil. Because Jesus came and gave his life. Remember, he came as a human being. He's just like me and you. He sacrificed his life for what? For us. Not him, for us. Because he knew after he was resurrected, he was going to be in heaven. He's going back to his home. But he come down and did that as a human being, just like any one of us here in this building. Because, you know, what Jesus did for us, he broke that curse of the law. And we have the right to speak out our healing in our body. We have a right to speak out reconciliation in our families. We have a right for our finances to be back to where they need to be. But you have to understand, these things of sickness and disease shall not come upon the People of Hope campus. And I can say that, but you have to say it and believe it. Because I can't change your will. Your will may, I enjoy being sick. Oh, I enjoy having a backache. Oh, I enjoy having a neckache. I enjoy having a headache. I enjoy not being in church. You see what I'm saying? How do you love Jesus? Now, a lot of people can make church their idol. What are you talking about? Yeah. They can make it an idol. You come to church because you want to come to church, not because you got to come to church. I look at it as I get to come to church. I get to come and worship God. I get to come and raise my hands. I get to come and raise my voice and sing before the King of Kings. I get to do that because he is worthy of our praises. If he's not worthy of your praises, you need to renew your mind. Because the reason why we're here is to give him the praise, the glory, and the honor. Because Christ redeemed us from the curse of the law. And sickness is under that law. So it's no excuse for us to be sick. Especially when we come into God's house. Now I'm not talking about just, you know, runny nose, this, that, and the other. I'm talking about sickness could be anything that's going on in your body to hold you back from worshiping God so that you're able to give God the praise. Because that's what he wants. That's all God wants. And can you imagine, you know, you've heard a lot of people, and I know none of them in here would do it, but always buttering up, I'm going to use that word, buttering up with the boss. You know, it ain't no buttering up with God because God's already got you on his refrigerator. He loves you. But you know, he wants you for himself. But you understand what I'm saying, that God wants us to be in a fellowship with one another. And we all should be like-minded. What shouldn't we? What you mean like-minded? With the Word of God. The Word of God is our compass to take us where we need to go. And we all have, like our family, just like your family. There are all different kinds of people in here. There's all kind of different kind of thinking. There's all kind of different speaking and language and everything else. But we are children of God if you accepted him as your Lord and Savior. Not just because somebody said you are. You've heard that a lot of times. You know, I guess they were a good person. I guess they'll get to heaven. That don't get you to heaven. Everybody knows that, right? How do you get to heaven? It's by accepting Jesus as your Lord and Savior. By having that personal relationship with him. To be born again. What is that? Well, you die to your old self. That part of your body, your life is gone. You have become a new creation in Christ. New creation. You don't do the same things over and over. If it is, you're not born again. And you know, how you know that? Well, look in the scriptures. You look it up. It tells you to be born again, you don't do the same. That's gone. That life is gone. You have become new, and you have you're worshiping the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, and everything else doesn't matter like it used to over here before you got born again. Hallelujah. Did anybody get anything out of this today? Hallelujah.